Strengthen your immune system with Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C and get 10% off. Quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. I hope you have had an amazing week. We are now well past the halfway mark of June, coming to the end of June, which of course is the halfway point in the year. Oh my goodness, where has that gone to? And most of it, we weren't able to do much anyway. We were locked up and locked in and not able to really enjoy life to the full. And yet it's still flown past. Anyway, please, I hope that you are having an amazing time, whatever you're doing, that you're making the most of the comparative freedom we have compared to when lockdown was out. I know we were expecting by now in here in the UK to be able to travel overseas, etc. But make the most of what you can do here and be grateful for that we are able to get out a bit more than we used to be able to. Wonder if you're enjoying the football at the moment, or maybe you're eagerly anticipating the tennis, maybe enjoying some cricket. There's lots of sporting events on there, so I hope you are able to enjoy that as well. We are going to be looking today at some really interesting things with a gentleman who is actually a medical doctor who has suffered from diabetes, a diagnosis of diabetes, I should say, type 2, and also of blood pressure. And he's going to be telling a little bit about his story and about his new book, which really documents how he managed to reverse his diabetes, how he managed to get off his pills, off his blood pressure pills, and has been able to live without those for the last 8 years, staying in that reverse condition. So I take my hat off to him. I know how difficult it is. And I really think that you should stick around if you've got type 2 diabetes and listen to what he has to say. We haven't got much time this week. It's quite a good long interview. He was very generous with his time, and therefore we're not going to be able to go through all the news items. Please do go along to diabetes.co.uk and Diabetes Times. Both of those are great sources of news. Check out what is in the news and see if there's anything of interest to you. In the meantime, also, please go to the UKHealthRadio.com website and please vote for the different organisations, companies, individuals who have been put forward for the awards in there. Myself and other presenters have been putting forward different companies that we feel have got had an impact in our sector and have got a great product. And therefore, we'd love it if you can just support them by voting for one of them. I think there's 36 categories. I think you can only vote for one, so it doesn't take long to do. UKHealthRadio.com, look for the Health Awards icon, click on it, and then you can just answer the questions and submit. Won't take you long at all. And it'll mean a lot to those companies, well, particularly to the ones that win it, will mean a lot. Anyway, we're going to play a song now, and the song is one that's been chosen by Dr. Eugene Cognon, who is going to be our guest today. And this song is called Driver License, and it's by Olivia Rodrigo. And I actually quite enjoy it. It's the first time I'd heard it, but I actually quite enjoy it. I like her voice. So Olivia Rodrigo and Driver License. Enjoy.
Got my driver's license last week, just like we always talked about. Cause you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your house. But today I drove through the suburbs, crying cause you weren't around. And you're probably with that blonde girl who always made me doubt. She's so much older than me. She's everything I'm insecure about. Yet today I drove through the suburbs. Cause how could I ever love someone else? And I know we weren't perfect, but I've never felt this way for no one. And I just can't imagine how you could be so okay now that I'm gone. Guess you didn't mean what you wrote in that song about me. Cause you said forever, now I drive alone past your street. My friends are tired of hearing how much I miss you, but I kind of feel sorry for them, cause they'll never know you the way that I do. Yet today I drove through the suburbs and pictured I was driving.
Well, that was a Driver License by Olivia Rodrigo, and you're listening to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And thank you so much to our guest for this week, Dr. Eugene Cognell. Oh, I knew I was going to get it wrong. How do you pronounce it again, Dr. Eugene
Cognell? You got it right.
I got it right before we went on air, and now I've got it wrong. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Please just tell us, first of all, before I introduce you further, why did you choose that song? I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo is talking about leaving a partner and the distress that she's going through. I also know that to reverse diabetes requires a big change. And those are the patients we have to go through this same type of feeling. It is a big change in life. It is a lifestyle change. So I think it is really inspiring to me what she's going through, because it is actually what I went through myself.
Wow, okay. Because I had to listen to it beforehand, and I didn't put the two and two together there. But actually, yeah, now you think about it, When you're reversing your diabetes, when you're changing so much in your lifestyle, it is a huge change, I guess, like losing a partner or leaving a partner. Yeah, wow. You're leaving that old way of life. But okay, so you are. I'll introduce you to the audience a little bit. So you are a doctor in more than one sense of the word. You've got you're a medical doctor, but you've also got a PhD as well. You're a physician, researcher, educator, diplomat. It says here as well.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're also an author to add to that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a funny combination, isn't it?
Okay. Please tell us a little bit about your career so far, how you've got to where you are in life from the point of view of your career, first of all. We'll talk about your diabetes reversal in a little while, but who is Dr. Eugene?
I'm a medical doctor. I'm a physician. I was initially trained in basic medical training in Cameroon, where I was born, and I moved to the UK for further trainings. I'm trained as an obstetrician and gynecologist. I also have been trained in public health, in global health with a PhD. So I worked with the University of Liverpool as a clinical lecturer in sexual and reproductive health for several years. Then I joined the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, where I've been working since then. I've occupied some senior positions working across different countries, and I'm still with the United Nations. So that is my basic background, and then came the diabetes. You will notice that my background is not about diabetes or other things, but I came to diabetes because I became a patient myself. And I have to actually become a doctor for myself and to find out what I could do with the diabetes myself.
Okay. Basically. So I've had the pleasure of having a bit of a read of your book. Is that actually out for sale now, or is it still in the process?
Yes, the book is out sale. You can have it in Amazon, Waterstone. You can have it in WS Mead. You can have it in all the big book outlets in the UK.
Cool.
And those who are outside the UK, they can get it from Amazon, actually.
Okay, cool.
It's the hard copy and the electronic copy also.
Right, okay, brilliant. Okay, and the title of the book is No Pills, No Needles. And I had a bit of a read before coming on this interview, just so I knew a little bit more about you. And it certainly sounds like a fascinating story. So as you said, you are a doctor and you're used to dealing with patients, but then there was a bit of a wake-up call in your life. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Basically, what happened to me is that during my annual health checks, one of them, that was about 10 years ago, then I was diagnosed with diabetes. And at the same time, high blood pressure.
That was type 2, wasn't it?
Really shocking to me because as a medical doctor, I knew that these are chronic diseases that normally are considered non-reversible, and you have to take medication throughout your life. Mm. And otherwise, you will end up with severe complications, and that can be very, very life threatened. So I was initially very shocked about that, and then I tried to find out what I could do. Initially, I thought about it and said to myself, "Well, these are chronic conditions, and they are caused basically by lifestyle." And I asked myself, "If they are caused by lifestyle, can changes in lifestyle reverse them?" So I said out to find out what will be done, what could be done to reverse diabetes, adult diabetes and high blood pressure, which the book talks about. And the initial first 2 years, I conducted around 30 self experiments involving diabetes, trying everything. I used the track and tell, the three T's of my trial. I simply try something, and then I track it, by measuring my blood pressure and my sugar levels. Mm-hmm. And then I can tell whether it works or not. Mm-hmm. So I did the first 30 of these experiments, and it was, in fact, the last that was successful in reversing diabetes.
It's a bit like... I can't remember is it Edison who invented the light bulb, who kept going on and on and on, and you know, he said, you know, what would you have done if you hadn't got it after 100,000 tries or whatever? I'd have still been trying. So you got it to number 30. 30 was the one. Number 30 was the one that worked. What was that?
Yeah. So number 30, I decided that I would stop eating lunch. So I said, from now on, I will take my breakfast and my dinner. I will not take any lunch anymore. I won't take any snack, anything apart from water during the day. Mm. And when I did that, because my lunch was the principal meal, and in fact, it constituted 50% of my diet, of my total food intake. So I cut my total food intake by 50%. And then I lost 10 kilos. By then I was weighing 80 kilos. I dropped to 70. Right. And when I dropped to 70, my diabetes, the sugar level was very low. Mm. So by then I was still taking metformin, my diabetic medicine that I was given by my GP, and I was taking. So I decided to stop it, to see what will happen. So I was checking my blood pressure myself, my sugar level myself, morning, evening, to see where it will move. So the sugar level remains normal. And then remained normal. I checked it over. I didn't go to the GP for 3 months. I checked it over 3 months, and then I went and told my GP that, you know what, the diabetes is no longer there.
Yeah.
So then he has to do the test again and then do the glycylated hemoglobin A to see whether there was no fluctuations in sugar levels that went above the normal within those 3 months, and it was normal.
Brilliant.
So since then, it has remained normal with my check.
How long ago was that? How long?
8 years ago.
8 years, wow, well done. I take my hat off to you, because I've been on a bit of a roller coaster myself. I reversed mine probably about the same time. But very quickly I got back into very bad habits, and my job is very sedentary, and whatever. Got into bad habits and things went pear shape again. The listeners know my story anyway. And then I did it again. I was following the work of Roy Taylor, Professor Roy Taylor, and. Yeah, it is difficult to change a lifestyle. I really applaud you for sticking to it for 8 years.
Yeah. So for 8 years, I don't take anything during the day. I don't eat. I don't snack during the day. I just take a breakfast and dinner, and that is it.
Okay, so you have a breakfast. So you, okay.
I have breakfast and then dinner.
Okay. Wow. So I like your idea of the three T's, because I think a lot of people would. I always talk to them about testing and measuring what they're doing. It's really important. There's no point carrying on doing the same thing and expecting different results if you don't know what results are going to be. So your test. Track and tell, is that right?
Yes, test, track and tell.
Test, track and tell, the three T's. I think it'd be really important for people. So just give us some ideas of what those three T's could be for someone. Let's say, for example, if they were, suddenly deciding to do a bit more exercise maybe or whatever.
Yeah, when I started, if I take my case, for example, I was walking because to be frank, I hated exercise throughout my life, and then I couldn't do any serious exercise. So I started by walking. Mm. So I would walk for 1 hour 40 minutes in a week. Then I increased to 400 minutes. But irrespective of how much I walked, it didn't work.
Right.
So I tried different forms of those type of exercise. I also tried jogging a bit, but it wasn't enough. It didn't reduce my weight.
Right.
Dietary measures, by changing my diet, by reducing low carb diets, for example, trying different types of supplements, minerals, vitamins. I tried different types. I even check on the internet to see what people say they could work for that what would work for diabetes. I tried. It didn't work until I lost weight. So my message is very clear. If you want to reverse diabetes, you have to lose weight.
Yeah.
That is what worked for me, and I don't think that any other thing. Although the stopping lunch was like, to me, I later on realized that it was intermittent fasting. I believe that intermittent fasting can help you lose weight. But if you do intermittent fasting without weight loss, I don't believe that it will actually work for diabetes. It will reverse diabetes. But it is a means to help you lose weight. And it helped me lose weight.
So your understanding then is that if you do intermittent fasting, but you still take the calories in at different times of the day and not losing weight, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. That's what I believe, because I don't believe that anything that will not make you lose, you will not reverse it. It will be difficult. And I believe that it helped me because it helped me lose weight. Yeah. And that should be the purpose, to make you lose weight with intermittent fasting. And in fact, it was later on that I realized that what I was doing was intermittent fasting. I just told myself I was stopping lunch, and I stopped it. Later on, I was reading literature about intermittent fasting. I just, oh my God, what I was doing was actually intermittent fasting. So
I haven't tried that. I've tried missing breakfast, but I haven't, and going, you know, long period from night time till. But I haven't tried the missing out lunch. Maybe I'll try that one, actually.
Because lunchtime. Maybe you will try that. What I also realized is that the weight loss, the BMI, the body mass index, can measure that. There are a group of people. What I realize is that there's a group of people who are actually predisposed to diabetes.
Yeah.
And they will develop diabetes with just like being overweight, like me, who I wasn't obese. I was just overweight with BMI of 26.
That is a point of contention. I don't know if you're aware of some research that's been done recently. I interviewed a doctor a few weeks ago now, about a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And the research that's coming out now is showing that there should be different thresholds for different minorities or different Asian, black,
different ethnic groups.
So 26 was I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I was 26. I was 26, and I had diabetes at 26.
Yeah,
and that is what I tell you, to be frank. Before then, as a medical doctor, most of my patients had BMI above 26.
Yeah,
so I was telling myself, well, maybe this BMI is not something we should be using, because it seemed not to work. How can we classify everyone as being overweight or obese? So I was telling myself that maybe we need to raise the level, change the level of this classification and bring it up a bit to include more people. Then when I got diabetes at 26, that's when I realized that there was a reason to put it at that level. To put it, normal BMI between 18 and 25. So I realized that, and I'm now convinced that it's important. But I'm also convinced that just having normal BMI is not enough, because I believe that if my BMI was 25, I would still be diabetes. So when it dropped to 22.8, that is when the diabetes went away.
Right.
I'm not thinking about how and where should be the normal. As you rightly say, we need normal for different people. Those who are really predisposed, we need to really get down and not just get within the normal, being around 25 or 24 and saying that it is normal. You really need to go around. I've started thinking of another concept of what is called the mid-range BMI. Right. Mid-range BMI is BMI in around 21, 23, around within that time. That it should be where we should be focusing and going, not being at the borderline.
So, one of the other risk factors, so to speak, is or indicators is the waistline. Were you pretty? Was your tummy a bit like mine?
Certainly, the waistline is very important. Because although my BMI was 25, my waistline was certainly the abdomen or the belly was certainly bigger than the hips, and so the waist hip ratio was not normal. So it should be, it could be one of the ways of finding out, because that shows that it's abdominal obesity, abdominal obesity with this big abdomen.
Yeah.
So that could be one of the ways. But as I said, when I started talking about this, I found a group of people who are actually taking less calories than they recommended, 2,000 calories, kilocalories per day, which is generally recommended. And I myself, I take 1,500 kilocalories per day. So I believe that is a group of people who should not be taking, because if I take 2,000 calories per day, I will become obese, overweight, not obese, and then diabetes could come back. I discovered there is a group of people who are predisposed and need to take less calories than the current recommendation. That should be another area of research to find out what is really happening in that area.
Some research that I found fascinating as well was some that was done on the different effects of different foods on different people, depending partly on their gut microbiome. How you could have one person who might have, might be able to eat some chocolate and it doesn't do anything to their blood sugars, and yet somebody else, and it shoots. And I'm not talking about because they've got diabetes. It was some quite fascinating research there. So it's just testing and measuring, isn't it? I recently have been doing a diet, and then I had some problems which led me to fall out of it a little bit, if I'm honest. But I had one of the continuous glucose monitors on, and it was really fascinating to see what pattern there was with certain foods for me. And that might well be different for somebody else, but it was really, for me, it's vital information for me to know what I'm putting in my mouth is going to do to my blood sugars, or what going for a 5K run is going to do to my blood sugars or whatever.
Yes, what you're saying is absolutely right. And that is why the title of my book, No Pills, No Needles, How to Reverse Diabetes and High Blood Pressure by Finding Out What Works for You. I coined that title because I feel that different people have different ways. And you apply the three T's. You try something, you track it, and you tell whether it works or not.
Yeah.
If you do that, then you can be able to find out what works for you exactly, and not just applying some prescribed way. Prescription means that it works for everybody. Meanwhile, it may not work for everybody.
Yeah.
So by trying what works for you, you will find out exactly what works for you, and that can help you. As you said, also there is the what you call epigenetics, which is basically the way genes are expressed differently in different people based on their past exposures. Some children grow up in a very harsh environment where they don't have enough food, or they just have enough to eat, and basically they are struggling. And then later on in life, things may change. They may start working, they may have enough food, even extra food, and they start eating far more than their system has adapted in the past. In the past, the system has adapted to store more food because it was the system had little food, and there are mechanisms that the system have put in place for you to store more food and in case if something happened. And then later in life, if things change, then it becomes a problem because you take extra food that the system that is experienced is storing more food. We store the food in your system and it will cause problem later on. It causes obesity and all that. That's epigenetics, and some people have that. Not basically because the genes are different. These are the same genes that someone else could experience, but would be normal. So the different ways people experience that could also be linked with what you mentioned earlier about the ethnic, different ethnic groups experience different cutting points for thresholds for BMI and the like. It is still, these are areas that we need more studies. We need to go deep into them and really find out what happened. I really believe that the area of BMI, we really need to go and have subclasses, not just grouping everybody into one.
I agree, yeah, definitely. I'm going to bring your wife into the picture, because you mentioned her in your forward or in your acknowledgements in your book. Yvette, yeah?
Yes, please.
Yeah, my wife is called Tina, and I know she's been a great support and help to me. And you likewise say that in your book. How important is it to have that support network, would you say? And what are some ways in which she's helped you?
Yeah, I think lifestyle change, support networks is very important to change your lifestyle. And I always advise people to, if you are to change the way your lifestyle, the first thing is to inform everyone near you.
Yeah.
To let them know that this is what will be happening. And having the support that you need will really help you go a long way. And I think my wife has been one of the most powerful tools, as supporters of my lifestyle change. And from the very beginning, she has supported me. She supported me from the very beginning, right from the way the diagnosis came, and I was really depressed. I was shocked and all that. She gave me the support. And then when I decided to move on with the change, she has always been behind me. Brilliant. And we go out for exercise together, even with my kids. She encourages me and try to find out whether I've done the exercise today, what did I do today? And that keeps you there. That encourages you and the support. And once you have everyone around you doing the same thing, like, then you find it easy. If you are doing it alone, like, we go out almost every evening now to go just for a walk to go and we can go to the park. We go out and do many different things. When you have that environment, which is very, very active, and trying to do that, then it's helpful. She has also been helpful in terms of the diet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to deal with what I eat, and make sure that I eat the right things. She'll be the one telling me what to eat. But I tell you, when I lost 10 kilos, because it was very fast, she herself was shocked. And then because I became suddenly small.
Yeah.
And then all my shirts, my suit couldn't no longer fit.
Yeah.
And then she became very scared. And then she told me, no, this is not normal. I'm not really sick.
Yeah. But I'm sure she saw as well that you had so much, I'm assuming that you had the same experience as me. You get so much more energy, so much more life in you. Than when you've got high blood sugars and you feel bloated and you feel tired and
No, one day said, no, we have to go and see a GP now, because I think you are not well, you are really sick. I said, well, can you call the GP? She called his GP, we went together, and the GP took my word and took my, he said, but the body mass index is no one, it's actually what we wanted, what do you want?
Oh dear. Well, congratulations certainly on the way that you've turned your life around, definitely. It's great to have you sharing here with listeners. What tips would you give, sort of in closing almost, for the listeners, most of all, apart from buying your book, which of course would help, called No Pills and No Needles, but apart from buying your book, what top tips would you give people listening today who have got, and we are really talking about type 2 diabetes, of course, aren't we? And the blood pressure you managed to sort out as well. But what are the top tips you'd give people?
Well, I would tell everyone that type 2 diabetes is a dietary disease, mm-hmm. and it is reversible. The message should be clear to people that it is reversible. The second thing I would tell everyone is that weight loss is the centerpiece of diabetes reversal. You have to lose weight if you want to reverse diabetes. I'm fully convinced about that. There may be limited scientific evidence of what it worked for me. I'm fully convinced that if you lose enough weight, you will reverse your type 2 diabetes. The third thing I would like to tell people is that intermittent fasting can help you. It is not the end goal that you just do intermittent fasting and then you reverse diabetes. It is to help you lose weight. Insofar as you do it and it helps you lose weight, the reason it helps you lose weight is that when you do intermittent fasting, it helps reduce the total amount of food intake. You don't feel hungry because you change, if you do it continuously, you change your circadian rhythm, which is an internal clock in your body that controls the hormones that determine whether you're hungry or not, the ghrelin and leptin hormones that control the hunger. So once you change that permanently, your body is aware that you don't eat at particular times of the day, then you are no longer hungry and you can stay without hungry. Eating bit by bit, although some people will say when you have diabetes, you eat small bit by bit. If you can do that and eating really small, that is fine. But the chances are that you are eating frequently bit by bit many times. Some people will say the bit is relative. Some people will take bit and they are eating a lot of it and saying that they are eating bit. So that's a challenge. Yeah. And then the other thing I would like to say is that if you have diabetes, also realize that you may need total less calories than the current recommendation.
Yeah.
Like me, you may not need up to 2,000 calories a day. You may need really less than that. And if you take less, it's going to work. Another thing I would also like to say is that you need to bring your body mass index down, not just to normal levels, but if you can aim to have it at the mid-range level, around 22, 23 is far more better, because it may be normal within normal range, but it may not reverse diabetes. Maybe 24, but diabetes will still be there. So you need to really bring it down, right down. And one other important factor which I notice with diabetes is that when this happens, if you can incorporate exercise as part of your routine, it will also help in your diabetes. To me, I feel that 80% was weight loss and 20% was exercise for my diabetes risk. So exercise, if you do it regularly, it will also help, really help. But exercise, I don't believe that exercise alone will really reverse the diabetes.
That's absolutely my personal findings and my belief as well. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's more, they talk about calories in and calories out, but it's almost like they're not balanced. The more you put in, it doesn't seem to be counteracted by the amount of exercise that you're doing necessarily. Brilliant. Well, I want to really thank you for all you've shared today. You've shared a whole load, and the chapters of your book are very say very clearly what each chapter is about. I mean, there's no doubt in your mind what you're going to be hearing in there. So I want to really encourage listeners, they've got type 2 diabetes, to go get that book, No Pills, No Needles, by Dr. Eugene. I'm going to spell your surname because I can't pronounce it still. So it's KONGNYUY, Cogneal. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
Roughly. Correct. Okay. Eugene, thank you so much for your time today. If there's nothing else that you are itching to say that I haven't asked you, is there anything else you wanted to say?
Not really, Peter. Thank you very much for inviting me to this.
It's great to have had you. I have got one more thing I want to ask you, and that is to introduce your second song to the listeners. Please tell them what you chose and why you chose it.
Yes, my second song, I choose Friday by Return of Nightcrawlers. This song is about the joy of getting to Friday. And as you know, each and every one of us is very excited when we are on Friday, because we are getting to a weekend. And I say, well, for diabetes, the excitement should come when we are reversing our diabetes, when we are losing our weight. Mm-hmm. But unlike this song, the excitement shouldn't go, it should remain. Mm-hmm. Because once you lose weight, you shouldn't go back. Should remain there, so we have a prolonged weekend forever with diabetes rest.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's good. You know what? I just struck me actually as you were saying that weekends can be a time when people can really undo any good that they've done during the week, or they could be really good at eating properly at the weekend and then undo it during the week. And I think what you shared earlier on about your wife, I think it's really important. For people to let people know in their life that they're trying to reverse their diabetes. So they let their work friends know so that they've got accountability then. And then they let their family know as well. So at the weekend, yes, they can have a good time, but they can have a good time within the boundaries of what they've set, so to speak.
Exactly.
Great choice of song. We'll have a bit of a party to that one. Can we have you on the show again? Can I commit you to that?
Oh, certainly. Thank you very much for this second invitation. So I'm really prepared and happy to join you anytime that you want me on board.
Anytime. Do you support England football, by the way, or not?
Certainly. Why not?
The listeners don't know this, but I mean, the relevance of that song actually saying Friday is because we're recording this on Friday the 18th, and it is now 22-9. So England and Scotland are playing, and it's almost the end of the first half. So thank you for giving up your time at this time to record this. And if it helps people to reverse diabetes, then it's job well done.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend too. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, it's life again, it's life again, it's life again. Weekend on a wave, yeah. It's Friday.
Saturday, Sunday, what?
That was Riton and the Night Crawlers, and the song was called Friday, as chosen by our guest today, Dr. Eugene Cognier. And I hope you enjoyed listening to what he had to say there about his journey as a medical doctor with his own personal fight against diabetes and high blood pressure, which he has been conquering for the last 8 years. And as you probably heard there, if you didn't, then here's your opportunity. He has written a book, which is now available in all good bookstores and on Amazon. The book is called No Pills, No Needles. So do check that out. I think it will be very helpful. There's some great stuff in there. I've had a flick through it already. And there's some things in there which are definitely reinforcing my beliefs and actually eye-openers as well. And I do like his approach there of the three T's: try, track, and tell. Try something out, track what happens, and then tell whether or not it is a benefit to you. The three T's of trial and error. A little bit like what I talk about on here a lot of the time, of the importance of testing and measuring. If you have got type 2 diabetes and you aren't testing regularly, then how on earth can you tell what's going on in your life? How on earth can you tell what influences different changes you make are having in your life? So, you know, if you're going to go on a diet, if you're going to start doing exercise, try to monitor what on earth those changes are doing. There's that really famous saying, I think, by Albert Einstein there, that definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, actually, there is another definition as well, which is doing different things to try and get different results and not even knowing, having no way of knowing, because you're not actually checking, not testing. That's pretty insane as well, to go to all that effort of dieting, to all that effort of doing exercises, and not knowing if it has any real benefit to you. So I encourage you to get hold of his book. I encourage you to start tracking what you're doing, testing and measuring what you're doing. You know, try out some of the things, and then, you know, look back and see, well, actually, yeah, they have made big changes in my life. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show. You're listening to The Diabetes Show. Remember, if you haven't already done so, please do go and vote. I think this is the last week to vote for the UK Health Radio Awards. Go to ukhealthradio.com and you can log in there, click on the icon for the awards, and then you can vote for whichever company, individual, organisation tickles your fancy. Okay, so please do go and check that out, ukhealthradio.com. Please check out our website as well at Undefeated, spelt with all E's. And if you want to contact me personally, if you've got a story you want to tell, if there's something you want to hear about, please don't be shy. Get in touch. Contact us via email, contact@undefeated.org. contact@undefeated.org. And we'd love to have your opinion, your input, your thoughts on the shows, and to be able to communicate with you and find out what we can do to service you better. Anyway, have a fantastic week ahead of you. Enjoy the weather if it's nice where you are. And if it isn't nice where you are, just be thankful that the rain is allowing things to grow. And enjoy life to the full. Take good care and God bless. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.